Thank you for joining us for the CMC Weekly Podcast. God has a fulfilling and rewarding life for you as you pursue His plan with all of your heart. Our prayer is that you'll find direction and wisdom as you connect with us through our weekly podcast. Join us now for a message from Pastor Tim Brooks.
The title of today's message is Our Vision. We want to talk about our vision for this year. We want to continue to talk about our vision. For those just joining our church, a vision is very important to us here. Proverbs 29:18 tells us that you perish without a vision, without a direction for your life. And that's why the first Sunday of the year, we have Vision Sunday, and we share the vision for the year. Last Sunday, we had our panel come up and discuss with a panel discussion our vision for this year. I want to pick up and just continue to go on talking about our vision, because a vision drives your life. A vision directs your decisions. Daily, moment-by-moment decisions are directed by a vision. When you get in your car, you start it and you pull it and drive, you don't stomp on the gas. Where you're going directs every decision you make. Where you plan on ending up directs it makes every decision on what you're about to do next. You have a vision, then it guides all of your daily decisions. And the Bible's clear. Without a vision, you're going to perish. The fact is, at my age, there's not a day goes by that I don't have a reason to call in sick. And I don't have to make it up. There's not a day goes by that something, I can't come in today because I have a headache. I can't come in today, I have a backache. I have an ankle ache, a toe ache. The fact is, you don't have time to hear about what all aches on me. Here's what I want you to know. Your employer hired you because they need a job. I hate you have a headache, but still, we got a job to do here. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't have some reason to call in and say I can't make it. My dog needs to go to the vet. I can't make it to work today. My friend is moving, so I can't come to work today because I'm going to help. My cousin has a friend that's getting married, and we're going to go to that wedding. With a vision for what you need to do. You work when you don't feel like working. You get out of bed when you don't want to get out of bed. See, with a vision, it directs and guides your life. My dog can get well on his own, or he can wait till I get home. But right now, I got something that I have to do. See, but with no vision, you just sit there. With no vision, you're not directed and motivated and guided because you have nowhere to go. For many in here, thank the Lord, we live in a country that makes this possible. And for many of us in here, we're in a season of life that you don't have to get up and go. See, for years of my life, not only did a vision direct me, but my bills directed me. The fact that I wanted electricity directed me. The fact that I didn't want them to come and get my house directed me. So you get to the place in life where everything's paid for. I got plenty of food on the table, house paid for, cars paid for, that life is paid for, and you get in that season of life, and here's what I'm telling you. Now more than ever, you have to be directed by a vision. Now, it's not a vision for what I'm going to major in school, but I got to have a vision of helping others, volunteering in the community, being involved in other people's lives. For some of you that maybe don't get out that often, do you have a vision for calling? You got a list of people that you call during the day and just check, are you okay today? Do you need anything today? Is there people that you call? Do you drive your neighbor to the doctor and wait on them and get them back home? Do you visit two or three people each week that live by themselves and you go by and check on them? Do you volunteer for cleaning day? Here, we have volunteers right here that come down and help clean the church. Do you volunteer for helping with the productions? During the day, you can go to the yard sales and get things that we need, or you can get in your shop and build some things that we need. Do you volunteer? One day a week, you substitute teach down here at our school. One day a week, you get up each morning. Maybe you have a list of people's names that you pray over each day. Regardless of your age, and I go on and on and on, we have to have a vision. We have to have a vision for where we're going and what we want to accomplish in our life. Another thing that's vital about a vision, we talk about this a lot here, for all of you younger ones in here, if you're not going anywhere, if you're not really clear on what you're going to do, if you're not burning with a desire to do something, then it doesn't matter what you major in or even if you go to school. Here's the next thing. When you are tempted, when you are confronted with temptation, why not? It's fun. Feels good. All your friends are. You want to. Why not? But see, if you're going somewhere, the reason I can't, here, you want some of this? Well, I'd love some of that, but I can't because I'm going somewhere. See, yes, that'd be fun. I'd like to do that, but I'm not going to because I've got a vision for my life. I've got to go. See, a vision helps you overcome the temptations in life, but without a vision, why not? Why not? Why not? A vision saves you. A vision protects you. A vision gives you a reason in life. With no vision, why not skip class? Why not sleep in? Why not hit snooze? Why not call in sick? But with a vision, your car doesn't start. You call a friend, come get me. I got to get there. See, with a vision, you get yourself there. Parents, help develop and train and instill a burning vision in your kids. What are you going to do? Where are you going to go? What's going to happen in your life? Adults, for all of us, hold a vision before your eyes. Don't become visionless. Boy, life gets very lonely, very depressive. I mean, it'll cave in on you if you become visionless for your life. Hold a vision. Hold a vision in front of you. For us older in here, a vision is all the more important. A vision for helping others. A vision for what area of ministry I can get involved in. Not only do individuals have to have a vision, churches have to have a vision. And what I've noticed is churches without a vision, like we've talked about, it's Sunday morning, so we have a service. And we do some religious things. Without a vision, it's Sunday morning. I'm a preacher, so I got to get up and preach something that sounds religious. Well, it's Sunday morning. I'm the church musician, so I get up and play some religious songs. Well, it's Sunday morning. The people come and go through a religious motion. You expected nothing, and you weren't disappointed. But with a vision, church is going somewhere. It has an aim. It has a direction. We're going to be somewhere where we're not right now. I'm just letting all of you that are joining us recently, I'm going to let you know, you won't come here on a very regular basis that your relationship with God doesn't grow. If you come here, your prayer life's going to grow. If you come here, your knowledge of the Word will grow. If you come here, your vocabulary will begin to change. You won't start talking about doubt and unbelief, but you'll be talking about faith and what God is doing in your life. I'm telling you, if you come here, your life begins to change. If you come here on a regular basis, you're going to find yourself living more blessed, more abundant, more happy, more fulfilled in life. Proverbs 17:24, it says, "An intelligent person aims at wise action, but a fool starts off in many directions." An intelligent person aims at wise actions. This church has an aim, and we aim here to keep America one nation in this world that is under God. And there are plenty of other choices. If you want to be a Muslim, there's nations for you. If you want to be a Hindu, there's nations for you. If you want to be a heathen, there's nations for you. If you want to be in witchcraft, there are nations that are predominantly witchcraft. But we have to keep at least one nation in this whole world that is under God for those people who want to raise their homes and their families in this kind of environment. And that's what we have to do. We realize that. We got women's night and men's night and couples night, pursuit weekend for our young people, two summer camps, school K through the 12th grade intern program, Easter productions, Christmas production. We got an aim here. We have an aim here. And as we look around and see how far the thinking, the voting, the actions, the behavior of church people seem to be, how far away it is from the behavior that God calls us to. This year, our theme is a holy generation. It's all about bringing a godliness back into a culture, a right definition of marriage. What you do when you're married and what you don't do until you're married. And there you bring a godliness back into a society. And Scripture teaches us, as Christians, our lives are to be different than the lives of those people who are not Christians. First Sunday of this year, We shared our vision, a holy generation. Last week, our panel discussed, we brought in lots and lots of scripture last week on the holiness that God requires in our life. We're pursuing a holy life. Turn to Jude. It's way back in the back of your Bible. A life of holiness is 100% based on the person, on the individual not doing things that God calls a sin and doing things that God calls godliness. Now, here is the problem that we face in Christianity today. We begin with God. Our beginning with God is through grace. How many are grateful for grace? Some of us are really grateful for grace. We won't go into that. We begin with God through grace. While you were yet a sinner, He paid the price for your sins. You didn't do nothing for it. You didn't do nothing to get it. All you did is just said, I believe. I accept. I receive. We begin with God through grace. But what grace does is then it allows you to start changing your behavior. Now see, we begin with God through grace, but then we roll up our sleeves and begin to do our part. And there is a constant problem in understanding it's all God and it's all man. We just have a constant problem in understanding that concept that you can't do God's part, but God is not going to do your part. Jude, verse 3. Look down the second sentence in verse 3, I'll start. But now I find that I must write about something else, urging you to defend the faith that God has entrusted once for all time to His holy people. Verse 4. I say this because some ungodly people have wormed their way into churches saying that God's marvelous grace allows us to live immoral lives. Wow. Is that exactly where we are? Is that exactly where a lot of church is? We have preached a grace message that allows people to continue to live an immoral life. And now we are ordaining immorality. We are promoting immorality instead of calling for a change in behavior. Verse 7. Don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning of the eternal fire of God's judgment. Verse 10. But these people scoff at things they don't understand. Like unthinking animals, they do whatever their instincts tell them, and so they bring about their own destruction. Well, Tim, I was born this way. Clearly, you have instincts that will bring about your destruction. Well, Tim, you can't fault me. These are my God-given desires. You have instincts inside you that will bring about your destruction if you don't grab a hold of those things and bring them in obedience to Christ. Absolutely, you're born this way, but you got instincts that will destroy you if you don't do something about them. And we can't continue to worm our way into the churches and preach a grace message that allows immoral lifestyle. Verse 16. Not a lot of amens on this sermon, but I'm prepared for it. So don't worry about me. I'm good. Verse 16. These people are grumblers and complainers, living only to satisfy their desires. Are you ready for this? They brag loudly about themselves, and they flatter others to get what they want. Are you amazed at people on TV bragging about the lifestyle that God says is like Sodom and Gomorrah? Wow! You're bragging about that. You're wearing a t-shirt announcing that. Verse 7. But you, my dear friends, must remember what the apostle of our Lord Jesus Christ predicted. Verse 18. They told you that in the last times there would be scoffers whose purpose in life is to satisfy their ungodly desires. These people are the ones who are creating divisions among you. They follow their natural instincts because they don't have God's spirit. These people are creating divisions among you. Did they just watch TV today and write that? Have you ever seen such? Well, on TV, that seems to be the way we do news now. We get people up there and let them fuss and fight and create a division among us. I mean, just arguing their points to satisfy their own immoral, ungodly lifestyle. Are you kidding me? This was written just a few minutes ago. Turn the TV on right now, and we've got people who are creating divisions among us, following their natural instincts, telling us, I was born this way, I'm born to do this, I'm born, and creating divisions among us. It's incredible. I want you to say, verse 23, here's what I want you to look. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to others, but do so with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their lives. We have to rescue people. Why do you rescue people? Because you love them. You're cared about them. You have a heart for people. I'm not mean. I'm not angry. I'm not judgmental. I'm not hating people. I love people. I want to see people happy, blessed, living an abundant life. And I have a desire to rescue people while with caution, I hate the sin that they're contaminating themselves with. We can't seem to get that together. Because if we say we hate the sin, then you're a hater of people, you're a bigot, you're judgmental, and then here we got all these names. I'm not a judgmental bigot. I hate people, and I don't want to see them contaminate themselves with sin and end up like Sodom and Gomorrah. And because I love people, I want to rescue them from the contaminated lifestyle they're headed in. Now, we got to get this. All right. Wow, I got to move on. I'm just now got done with my introduction. Now at this point, I enter into the message. Here's the problem. The problem that we will face with holy generation being our thing. If you bring up or if you point out somebody's sin, if you just try to ease around and politely help somebody out of their error, if you in any way bring up, here's what you're going to get. They're going to bow up, jump in your face, and want to know when did you get perfect. They're going to jump in your face and want, who died, left you king? Well, Mr. Holier than thou. And here, if it's a family member, then you're going to get a list of everything you did wrong. Help people who don't know you. If you try to help somebody that knows you, then they're going to bring up, well, when you were 7, yeah, I'm 60, but when you were 7, when you were 9, I can tell you 30 years ago, here's what you did. But you're going to get inundated with a list of everything you did wrong. All right. We're aware we're going to get that, aren't we? So what's our answer to it? I'm not perfect. I have not been perfect. So I have no business telling you what you're doing is not right. And there's where we are. There's where we are. There's where pastors have been. As a pastor of a church, I can't stand here and preach on holiness. I happen to know. And here's the problem with this church. I wish we had a big mega church where everybody came and no one knew me. The problem with this church is a lot of you who know me and you are well aware of my imperfections. Some of you know my wife and she let you know my imperfections. So here we are, all as one big happy family. Who is going among us to talk about holiness? Not me. Let's talk about grace and mercy and love. And there's where we are. Here's what I want to say this year. And let me just get this out in the open. Me being perfect has nothing to do with the fact that I don't want to see you contaminate your life. Now, let me get that said. Verse 7. Don't forget Sodom and Gomorrah and their neighboring towns, which were filled with immorality and every kind of sexual perversion. Those cities were destroyed by fire and serve as a warning. They serve as a warning. Verse 10, people doing what their instincts tell them. Let me just start into this message today by saying, for me as a pastor this year, I will be preaching regularly on holiness. And I want you to know I'm preaching it, not because I'm perfect, but because I don't want to see you destroy your life. And in my own private life, I'm doing all that I can do to try to help me live a more godly life as well. But I'm you heathens, you ought to be, I'm not coming across like I'm somewhere you're not. We are all imperfect, and we're all in this together, and this year we're going to lock arms and pursue holiness, not because one of us is better or thinks you're somebody else or who are you holier than thou telling me what I'm supposed to do. Young people, when your parents correct you or ride you or chew on you, see, we call it loving you. You call it chewing on you, whatever terminology, but you know what I'm talking about. When you're, young people, when your parents correct you, it's not because they're perfect. So don't start in on a list of all the imperfections that you see in your parents' life. When your parents start in on you, this is not your time to interrupt the conversation and start telling them about all the ways they have blown it in their life. Parents, let me talk to you. We have backed off requiring holiness in our children because look at the mess I've made in my own life. Let me talk to you teachers. Teachers, we have backed off teaching holiness in our classrooms and in our schools because look at the kind of mess ups I have in my own life and who am I to talk about holiness? Pastors, we backed off teaching holiness in our churches because our church is full aware of the fact that we're not perfect ourselves. As holiness is our theme this year, the focus has got to be not that we're perfect and looking down our nose at all these heathens. The focus has got to be on because of our love for others, because our care about other people, we don't want to see anybody destroy their life. And because I love people, I'm going to preach holiness, not because I'm up here saying I'm perfect and I'm judging people. I'm not preaching holiness because I am a bigot. I am preaching holiness because I know what Sodom and Gomorrah stand as. An example to us, and I don't want to see people destroy their life. Has nothing to do with the fact that I'm perfect or I've always been perfect. Here's my word today. Parents, you teach holiness. Not because you've been perfect. Yes, yes, you've blown it. The list of the way you've blown it is gargantuous. You're in a place right now that you wouldn't have been in had you not made all the mistakes you've made. That's not the point of this year. The point of this year is we got to lift up a standard of holiness that we can grow to. Come on, parents, this year, don't let the fact that you have not been perfect in your own life keep you from leading your family into the holiness and into a lifestyle that God has for us. School teachers, you lead our classes into holiness and godliness. Not because you've been perfect, because you are not the standard. I want you to know right now, as pastor of this church, I'm not the standard. God's our standard. God's our standard. And we got to know that. We've got to know that. You don't fall off of the pumpkin wagon because some pastor messed up. Pastors are going to come and go and they're going to mess up. You never look to your pastor as the standard. You look to God as the standard, not to each other and not to me, not to anybody here. Grandparents, you hadn't been perfect, but lift up a standard of holiness to your grandkids. Teenagers. All the teens in here, if you're a teenager, I want you to listen very close. Time for y'all to stop texting just a minute. I'll let you get back to it here in just a second. All the teenagers, Jude 23. Rescue others by snatching them from the flames of judgment. Show mercy to still to others, but do with great caution, hating the sins that contaminate their life. You teenagers, all of you in here, you got friends that are contaminating their life. You have friends. You know people that are contaminating their life. You've got a good friend, a BFF, best friend, BBFF, whatever that is. Whatever those things are. But you know, y'all got the necklace deal. Best friends, rest of your life. My BFFs, I don't even know where they were. I hadn't seen them since third grade. But you got one right now. Here's what I'm telling you. Your friend can kill themselves doing what they're doing. They're doing something. Teenagers, listen. Y'all, all of you older people, y'all go back. Y'all don't know how to text, so y'all doze off. Young people, let me talk to you here. I take some medicine. I take a pill to help my sugar level. I take a pill to help my cholesterol level. When I go to the doctor, first thing he does, he puts me on a scale. See how fat I am. I always enjoy that part. Then the doctor runs tests on my liver function, on my kidney function. He checks my heart and my blood pressure rate. Then he looks at all of that. And then combined with my weight, my age, all of my functions, then he prescribes my pill. I want you to take 40 milligrams of this once a day. I want you to take 500 milligrams of this twice a day. I want you to take 10 milligrams of this. See, all of that is very calculated. Is everybody with me? A thug handed your friend some pills. Don't know nothing about their weight or their liver function or their kidney or their heart. Don't know nothing about that and said, here, take these, you're going to feel good. You can die instantly. And you need to know that. And here's what I'm telling you.
Here you're perfect. You're not perfect. Here you're not.
You're not perfect. I get that. You're not perfect. But you teenagers, you can't let the fact that you're imperfect keep you quiet while your friend takes something. They don't have no idea what they're taking. Here's the point of this sermon. Your friend can die. All of us in here. Here's the point of this sermon. You can kill yourself. Either physically or mentally or spiritually or both. Here's what I'm... You're headed in a direction that will destroy your life. And I can't stand here because I know my past and I know what I did, and I can't bring up anything because somebody's going to point their finger at me. So let's just talk about God loving everybody, and let's just... Young people, you can't do that. You're going to have to stand up and snatch... Verse 23, rescue others by snatching them from the flames. We got to rescue each other. There's hurting people. There's lost people. There's folks that don't know. There's folks that have been sucked in. There's folks that are in a trap. There's folks that have been caught up. There's folks that have been deceived. And that's why you and I have to snatch people. And it's not because we're bigots. It's not because we're holier than thou. It's not because we're looking down our nose with judgment. It's because we love people and don't want to see them destroy and wreck their very life. A holy life is what we're pursuing in here. A holy life is what we are all pursuing in here. Grace is not the stopping point in our life with God. Grace is the beginning point in our life with God. While you were yet a sinner, He died for you. Now we have received His grace. We're not perfect. Your parents aren't perfect. Your school teacher isn't perfect. Your boss isn't perfect. Your neighbors aren't perfect. Your pastor's not perfect. But all of us this year are going to lock our arms. We're going to snatch one another from the flames. Sodom and Gomorrah is an example to us. And we're going to keep our BFFs from contaminating their life and ruining their life. God has called us. God has called us. And He has in store a blessed, abundant, wonderful, joy-filled life for you. And we got to walk in holiness so that we can walk in the life God has for us. Y'all stand with me. Right now, as we're standing, I want to take just a few minutes. I want to take just a few minutes here as we're standing before the Lord. Everybody in here has got their eyes closed, and we're just doing business with God. You personally, shut everybody else out right now. If you are in here today, and you are guilty about what you have done, you are being whipped with condemnation over the bad decisions you've made and over the choices that you... all of us have a past. We just all have one. And here today, you're being whipped over that. Here's what I'm telling you. We're going to have to let that go today, because we can't pursue holiness feeling guilty about what we did. You can't snatch others from the flames feeling guilty about what you did. If your guilt and your inferiority is so strong, it will keep you from stepping up and saying somebody else is doing something wrong. So right now, everybody in here, I want you to receive God's forgiveness in your life. Father, right now, we receive your forgiveness for all of the ways that we have just messed up. Lord, the wrong decisions we made. Lord, the things that we have done that hadn't been right, Lord, we let that go right now. We receive your forgiveness. We're going to leave this building washed clean by your blood. We're going to put our past under your blood. And we're going to walk out of here pursuing holiness with a clean slate. Lord God, help us. Deliver us. Wash us clean. Come on, in here, turn it loose. Turn it loose all over this place right now. Turn it loose. Turn it loose. If we were much smaller, I'd have you come forward and lay my hands on you. But we got too many folks in here to do that. Right now, Father, I turn this loose to you in the name of Jesus. I turn loose my guilt. I turn that loose right now in the name of Jesus. I receive your forgiveness. And Lord, I leave here washed white as snow. A brand new start. And Lord, I'm walking out of here pursuing living right. Making my goal, putting off the old, putting on the new. Lord, I leave here making it my goal to take off that sin nature and put on a nature that's after you. Father God, today, I want to walk in a right relationship with you. Today, Lord, I honor you, I worship you, and I magnify your name. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
You have been listening to the Christian Ministries Church Weekly Podcast. Join us each week for more messages from CMC.